Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Brian and Mary, and this is episode 116.
Woo!
Yeah, and happy last episode of October. Woo!
Yep, and Halloween's coming right around the corner.
Saturday,
Yeah, Saturday. I have not gotten candy yet. Not that anyone's going to be trick-or-treating at my apartment, but ever since I stopped, you know, handing out or trick-or-treating myself, I've always treated myself to a small little bit of candy every Halloween to celebrate the good old days when I used to be able to, you know,
go out candy.
And go door-to-door, you know, enjoy the life as a kid, basically.
My mom just gave me my ballot. I went out to dinner with my mom and Chip, and she just gave me my ballot, and she gave me, like, a few pieces of Halloween candy, so I'm set. Oh,
that's so nice.
Yeah. But let's see. I'll tell about my weekend since we both did something together. We went on the ferry on Saturday and, of course, masked up, all that stuff, and went and saw my friend Emily, and her husband Devin just moved back from Washington, D.C. They live in Bremerton now, so that was very exciting. I haven't seen her in almost 2 years, so very exciting. We got on the ferry. Brian came with me. We got on the ferry. Brian immediately goes, "This reminds me of Titanic." I was like, don't say that when you just get on a boat. And then we go outside and, you know, look at the view. It was a really nice day out. A little chilly, but it was really, really good view. And Brian goes, "I'm the king of the world." And then, yeah, of course, took a picture of him at the front of the boat doing that.
Yeah, I was doing the Titanic hands across thing.
Yeah.
There's a car going pretty fast. Yeah. But anyways, I was doing that, you know, the classic Titanic scene in the front of the boat while it started moving forward. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's pretty windy. Let me go back inside. But oh my goodness.
But not before you took a bunch of panoramas.
Yeah, I took a bunch of pictures. And honestly, I was like so impressed with this ferry. And, you know, I was a little worried when you said you were taking the ferry. I thought that basically what we'd be doing is like, basically I got the idea of what a ferry was is basically like,
a barge.
You drive your car like in those getaway like scenes where like cars are chasing other cars and like one car like just jumps over the pier onto a boat.
Okay.
that's basically what I thought was gonna happen. We were gonna like go across like some like road onto a boat on like the top level of the boat, and then basically as soon as we got out we'd be like outside and like the cold wind would be hitting my poor face for the next hour, because that's how long it took to get from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. But I was so pleasantly surprised. There was indoors, there's a heater, there's some bathrooms. This is the fanciest boat I've ever been on.
There was vending machines.
There's vending machines. Like all the other boats I've been on were like a canoe and like a tiny fishing boat. This was quite the experience. Man, one day when I go on like a cruise ship, oh, I'm just gonna be my blood. But this is my cruise for now. This was my cruise ship, the ferry.
And it was. And if anyone's interested in going on the Washington ferries, at least ones in Seattle, I thought they were very well like spaced out. For every like table or chair, like bench seat or chair, there was each one was marked off. Every other one, and then even in the bathrooms, every other stall was marked off to not use. For social distancing. I thought that was very well done, and it's pretty easy to maintain enough space on board.
So yeah, because
that was just a fun way.
Cars as well. So,
and this also marks the first time that I've left the county since March, and so this is just entirely exciting. Like basically, this is just like the greatest thing ever. Get to see one of my best friends and to leave the county all in the same weekend and ride a ferry. It was just so fun.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
And then, let's see, then also this weekend, I got to hang out with Brayden a little bit. We keep meaning to watch The Music Man, but then we just keep talking whenever we hang out, and then we never watch the movie. But that's what happened again this weekend. But it was super fun, and we just chatted it up and had some Mod Pizza salads. And so that was also very fun. Very good weekend. I think it's just very enlightening to leave the county for the first time in such a long time. Never knew I'd be so excited to get out of King County. Also this week, I finished the show Schitt's Creek. As you guys probably know, I just get stuck watching The Office over and over and over and over and over on Netflix. And so, watch Schitt's Creek, and it was very funny. And lastly, I just voted. And so also very exciting. 6 days until Election Day.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. And don't forget, guys, you're going to have to turn your clocks back an hour.
Yes.
I believe Monday as well.
No, Sunday.
Oh, well, Monday morning.
No, Sunday morning.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, see, I know nothing.
It's always on Sunday, sure? So it's like Halloween night. And also, Brian, most of the time nowadays, you don't even have to do
right.
anything.
Okay, just kidding.
Yeah. You might just have to change it on, like, your microwave or your oven, and that's about it. But everything else, or maybe and maybe your thermostat, yeah. too. But, like, other than that, I think everything else in my apartment automatically is going to change.
Yeah, yeah.
What else did you do this weekend besides ride on a ferry?
Well, I looked at, like, these cool foldable treadmills. Basically, the theme is everyone's getting, like, indoor exercise equipment.
Yeah, like, I got my bike, and so now you're like, I gotta get something.
Yeah, I can't do bikes. Bikes are... I still have the quads for that. I mean, I would if I did bikes a lot.
Exactly.
But,
I didn't.
But,
I wasn't in that
I don't
good
want,
shape
I don't want,
when I,
don't
started.
I don't want thighs the size of cantaloupes, Mary. That might be your thing, but that's not mine. I want calves the size of cantaloupes. So I'm gonna get a running thing.
Treadmill.
Yeah, that's basically. Well, I'm not for sure gonna do that, but maybe come Christmas, I might treat myself to some sort of. There are some really nice foldable treadmills where basically, like, you know, like the stand. You know, like, you have, like, the conveyor belt, and then you have, like, the stand right in front of it.
I mean, I know you're not talking to me because I'm the one that told you about these. I know you're just talking to our listeners about this.
Yeah.
But
you did. You set them my way. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can just fold it right up, and you can, like, hide it under a couch or, like, anything that's, like, I don't know, like, 6 or 8 inches worth of space. So that's really good. And, yeah, I might be looking into buying that because I tried to run today and oh my God, it's like 30 degrees out. It's
today was warmer than it has been.
Yeah, well that's true, but still too cold for me. Yeah, so well, it's a struggle.
It's only gonna get a little colder from here on out, so might be time to invest in some warmer clothes.
Yes, I might probably will do that as well. You guys will see me with some earmuffs.
No one really wears earmuffs just out and about.
Hey, I gotta protect my ears, Mary. Okay.
Okay. For people who don't have the time to pore over recipes or fight lines at the grocery store, Home Chef offers the perfect solution. I've used Home Chef, and each box delivery has pre-portioned ingredients along with easy-to-follow recipes that make home-cooked meals a breeze. Home Chef understands that time is limited, so recipes are designed to take less than 30 minutes to prepare, from box to plate. Choose from a wide selection of dinner entree options that are refreshed weekly or add express or oven-ready meals for busy weeks. Home Chef offers gluten-free meals as well as carb and calorie-conscious recipes. Choose from flexible meal plans that allow you to order for just 2 servings per meal or for the whole family. You can get $40 off your first Home Chef box by going to sassstorysarcasm.com/homechef. So this week on the podcast, we're going to get back to our bread and butter of Sass Stories and Sarcasm, two of our favorite topics, The Bachelor / Bachelorette and Gonzaga basketball. Basketball hasn't started yet, but The Bachelorette has. And so there's been 3 episodes so far, and we haven't talked about it since we introduced the contestants a few weeks ago. But I wrote down short summaries of each of the 3 episodes, and so you don't have to go back and watch 6 hours of TV. I did it for you, and so did Brian. Now, as you guys know, this is an unprecedented season because everything this year is unprecedented. It's both the most dramatic season and the most unprecedented season. Basically, the first episode started... the whole season is going to take place in Palm Springs. Normally, they start at the Bachelor Mansion in Los Angeles, and then they travel around the world and the country, but obviously can't do that. So it's all going to be at La Quinta in Palm Springs. And the first 30 minutes of the episode, they just talked about COVID and how it delayed their plans, how Claire Crawley was announced the next Bachelorette back in March because The Bachelor ended literally a week before everything shut down. And, you know, they had a video of the guys being tested and, like, crying and coughing profusely, you know, just normal stuff. And then They also had, usually they show like the Bachelorette or Bachelor like running on the beach or something, but they just showed Claire alone in her house quarantining.
Yeah, looking out the window.
Yeah. Honestly, there were some, there's nothing too special about the limo entrances of Claire meeting all the guys. The only one I really want to note, and this is going to be a theme, so you're going to hear this name a lot, but when Claire meets this guy named Dale, she says, "I think I just met my husband," and then she said, "I knew it when he walked away," which, what did she know? There's been lots of speculation that she probably looked up all the guys on social media during this break between March and when they filmed in, like, July or August, and potentially just started having a crush on Dale from then. Dale is a former professional football player, and then he also is a model who works at Party City. There's been lots of pictures of him dressed up in Halloween costumes floating around the internet. He's been a taco. He's been, like, he just models for Halloween costumes, and
yeah. That's just so funny that he was a model for Party City.
I know.
But some entrances... speaking of entrances, and I'm not sure if these people are still around, but two notable entrances. You know, people always do weird things when they're just trying to get the attention.
Yeah.
Someone came in on, like, in a bubble, right? Just to make fun
of. He couldn't even get out of the bubble, though.
Yeah,
the problem.
He didn't stick the getting out of the bubble that well. And then someone else came in a straitjacket for some random reason.
And he was there for the entire night
in the straitjacket. Yeah, he actually passed the first
Claire
round.
Claire didn't even talk to him.
Yeah, she's just like, eh, you can get past the first round.
Yeah. So, like I said, she said, "I think I just met my husband and I knew it." And she just, like, looked like something crazy had just happened. She said that her entire, like, Chris Harrison had to, like, come out in the middle of this and was like, "Are you okay? You just said you met your husband." And she said her entire world went dark and the only thing left was Dale. There was no sun, no moon, no stars. The only light in the sky was Dale. And Chris Harrison's like... very concerned because, like, what the heck? Yeah, are you stable enough for this job, Claire? I don't know. And then he's like, "You know, you have a whole nother limo of guys." And she's like, "I guess I'll meet them." And he's like, "Yeah, I mean, they've been quarantining for 2 weeks for you. I think you need to meet them." But aside from Dale, the show didn't really do anything to differentiate the guys from one another. And so if you're not Dale, you're not really a real person this season. And as we continue explaining, you'll kind of continue to realize this is true. Honestly, on the first night, there was some normal drama. Something always goes wrong. Like, a guy always has, like, a girlfriend back home and, you know, someone tells on him and he gets sent home, blah, blah, blah. Nothing that special. Dale does get the first impression rose and some people go home. You know, just typical. The second episode starts with Claire floating on a hotel, in a hotel pool, and she's just talking about Dale still, you know? The whole season's happening in one place, and the only person she's going to talk about is Dale. There are three dates on the second episode. The first one is a love languages date. They all have to give her compliments while she listens to them, and then they sprint back to their rooms and grab a gift for Claire for, you know, another love language. And then they're all... Claire and the guys each are blindfolded, and somehow she's able to identify them all by their scent. She sniffs them, and I was like, I can't smell it all, but she has an extremely good nose. If she's met these guys for one night before this, and she, first of all, knows all their names and can identify them by their smell, I don't know how she did that.
That was creepy. That was so creepy. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know. I was like, wow, this is very odd.
This is intense.
And then for another love language, they had a quality time at the cocktail party after the date. Right. So they're all sitting there on the couches, and she's like, okay, so we're here, cheers. And then there's just awkward silence, and they're all just sitting there and looking at her, and they don't know what's going on. And she just goes like, "So none of you want to talk to me?" And she gets super offended. And this one guy, I don't even remember who, because I honestly only know Dale. Another guy just comes up and is like, "Oh yeah, I'll talk to you." And so he goes over and talks to her in a separate room, and she's like, "Hold up, I can't even talk to you right now. Why does no one want to talk to me? Are you guys even, like, gonna be here for me? Why are you even here if no one wants to talk to me?" And she leaves him and goes back and, like, just starts yelling at them, like, what's going on?
Not wanting to talk to her, like, a second earlier.
She's like, she's like, are you guys just all here to become friends and like not, you know, potentially be my husband? Like, just get so mad. This is the first date of the entire season, so they don't know how, they've never been on TV before. They don't know how this is gonna all go down. I can understand why there might be some awkward silence. They didn't know what was gonna happen next. But then, so she gets mad at them, and Dale's like, oh, don't worry about it, I'll talk to you. So she leaves the guy that she was originally talking to and goes and talks to Dale because she's just obsessed with him. And
yeah, this is day two.
I know. I just, then she goes on a one-on-one with a guy named Jason, and they basically just tell each other all their insecurities, and they yell into the desert, all their, like, just yell, they scream into the desert to, like, let go of their insecurities. And then she also throws the dress that she was wearing when she was on The Bachelor, when she almost got engaged to Juan Pablo. She throws that dress into the fire with him to symbolize that chapter of her life being over. She sure brings up all the time she's been on TV a lot.
Yeah, I really don't think she's honestly mature enough to be like hosting this Bachelorette. No. And, you know, everyone deserves love, but I don't know if she's ready for marriage because she's very self-centered and you kind of have to sacrifice a lot.
Also on this, also on this date, there's this other guy. Again, I don't know his name, but he, you know, goes to talk to Claire and he's like, you know, I really liked you. Once I heard that you were announced as the Bachelorette, I knew I wanted to be on. She's like, oh, so what do you like about me? He's like, well, I don't know you yet. She's like, well, if you don't know me, why are you even here? It's like, we just got here.
Yeah.
Did you want to pull or no? Does she want them to stalk her on the internet and like rewatch all the time she's been on The Bachelorette or The Bachelor and all the Bachelor spinoffs in order to get to know her? Probably not. Those obviously didn't go well for her. She's already been on TV 4 times. I don't know what. And then this second episode wraps up with another group date and they play. Chris Harrison's like, we're going to play dodgeball. And then Claire goes, I want this to be strip dodgeball, which I don't think is appropriate at all. And also, I have to say, it was really odd. And also, if the roles were reversed and it was The Bachelor asking bachelorettes to strip, that would never fly. And no, she also has
TV. There'd be no. So many blogs.
She also received a ton of criticism about this online last week because that was just very odd. Like, I understand that it's much more difficult to have dates all in one spot when there's limited things that they can do. They can't, you know, fly off to a private island or, you know, swim with the pigs like they have in the past. They did. They did do that once.
Pig episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we get to last night's episode, week 3. And if I had to summarize this whole episode in one word, Dale, obviously. And I mean, she just said Dale probably 200 times over the course of 2 hours. The episode starts with the rose ceremony from the following week. And this guy named Yosef, who wasn't on the strip dodgeball date, but he comes up to her and tells her she's a disgrace and doesn't want to be associated with her or this season or this franchise. And she would make a horrible role model for his daughter. And he can't believe that she would do something like this. And he said that he expected more from the oldest bachelorette. And that really, I mean, all of this really set her off. She said she's the oldest bachelorette and she's 39 and she's single because she didn't settle for guys like him. And then they just yell at each other some more. And he finally gets in the car to leave. I think that he should have just left more respectfully and peacefully than that. Just like, hey, I don't think what you did was right last week. I don't think this is going to work out between you and me. I'm going to leave.
Yeah, you kind of lose the high ground when you start yelling.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so that, you know, obviously there's yelling. They're yelling at each other. He's yelling, you're the oldest bachelorette. She's saying, I wouldn't settle for a guy like you, blah, blah, blah. And
he's like, I would want you to be the mom of my daughter. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, and then the rest of the guys hear this commotion, and they go to try to help Claire. But then suddenly, it just somehow turns into just being her and Dale, and Dale is comforting her. And I was like, I watched this with Brian, and I was like, Brian, where are the other guys? Are they chasing Yosef's car off the resort property? Or I don't know where they all went.
Yeah, because the camera just panned to, you know, Claire. She's all alone, and then in comes Dale. He's like, I will comfort you. I'm like, wait, where'd the rest of the guys go?
Yeah, exactly. So Dale's hugging Claire, and, you know, then it cuts to she's just so upset, so she skips the rest of the cocktail party and just has the rose ceremony and sends more guys home. I don't even know who she sent home because, again, I only know Dale because that's all she talks about.
She never takes the time to learn about any of the other
guys.
No,
I don't know a thing about any other guy. So then the next day, the next morning, and a former bachelorette, Deanna, she's from, like, I think season 4. I didn't watch it back then. But she came, and Claire is just telling her all about all the guys on her season. Just kidding. She's just telling her about Dale. And then she shows her, she's like, ooh, I have something of Dale's that I have in my room. And she's like, oh, what is it? She's like, oh, I have Dale's pants. And then for some reason, they both sniff Dale's pants. And they never explained how or when she got Dale's pants.
Yeah, that was really bizarre. I'm like,
But I think it's just another way to prove that, like, yes, we understand that she likes Dale. So then the first date card of the week arrives, and the guys just wait around. And eventually she comes in and says she's decided the date is not happening, and they're just going to have a cocktail party. So essentially, she doesn't want to spend any time with any of the guys, and she's canceling date after date, on and on and on. She's just barely she does not want to get to know them. So she says, okay, we're just going to have a cocktail party. Great. Okay. So Dale then says, hey guys, just so you know, I want to have 5 minutes with Claire. I need to talk to her about something. And so then over an hour goes by, and the guys are just sitting there on the couch, and they're getting mad, and, like, rightfully so. And they try to figure out where they are. And then so eventually they find her and Dale, and then she briefly talks to some of them. But she tells a producer she wants to just move the night along as fast as possible. There's, like, I think 10 guys on this date. Like, between 8 and 10 guys. And she's like, I don't really want to talk to all these people. I want to just get this date done with. And
yeah, basically the theme is she's made up her mind.
Yeah.
She likes Dale. She just, on day, like, what, 3? Well, she made up her
week
mind.
Week 3, yeah.
But day 3, she starts, like, just pushing through people. She's got to get to the end of the season as fast as possible.
Yeah. So she's talking to another guy at one point for, you know, very short amount of time. And then apparently Dale got lost on the way to the bathroom and just open source. Oh, shoot. I didn't know that you guys were in here. And then he just stands there. And the other guy's like, oh, do you want to talk to her? And he's like, sure. Okay. And so they talk again. And then the other guy goes back and is like, oh, Claire's talking to Dale again. And that's when the guys are like, what the heck? Why are we even here? And I totally understand that. Like, ugh. Do you want to explain what happened on the one-on-one date, Brian?
Oh, yes. So, basically, there's this guy named Zach, and they go to the spa, and, you know, they put guac on each other's face. And,
it was,
you know,
not avocado. Like, it literally was guacamole that was falling off of their face.
Yeah, it was a lot of excessive guac, let me say. I don't know how these facial spas work, but there was a lot of guac on these people's faces.
Well, you don't usually use guacamole either. That was just very odd.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'll just eat that. But anyways, so she basically, during this date, she's only talking about Dale.
Not to him, but she's just like, I just miss Dale so much. I just really wish I could be with him.
Yeah, this is, like, to the camera, away from him. And, like, you should be focusing on the person you're trying to get to know besides Dale.
Yeah.
But anyways, so they go to the pool. They hang out in the pool. And then she leans in to kiss him on the cheek or kiss him on the lips or anything, really. And he's like, ooh, I get a kiss. So he, like, leans forward, too. And then she just, like, halfway forward when leaning in, she, like, in her brain, she, like, freaks out and she pulls away. And then just leaves Zach just hanging there. He's like, wait. What are you doing? Why'd you pull away? And she's like,
you didn't try hard enough.
Talk about it. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. And she's like, I'm going through trauma or something. And yeah, so cut to later on in the date, Zach and Claire are supposed to have, like, a dinner date. And basically these one-on-ones, what's significant is it gives you a chance to, you know, it's you and the bachelorette. So you get a great chance to show off, you know, your personality and, you know,
share a sob story or whatever.
Yeah, share a sob story, anything really. And the thing is, she gives out a rose. If she doesn't give out that rose, you don't proceed to the next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're out, pretty much. And so Zach's sitting there waiting for dinner with Claire, and Chris Harrison comes up. That's probably not who Zach wanted to see.
Yeah.
And Chris just says Claire wants him to go home. So he's like, wait, what?
I mean, I think so it was pretty, she says that she's, you know, mature and whatever, but, like, she should have just gone out and been like, hey, this isn't going to work out. I'm going to send you home. Like, to be like, oh, Chris, can you break up with him for me?
Yeah, it's so bad because, like, I totally get it. If you don't like someone, you're supposed to just say you don't like someone. You don't go through, like, a third person.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened. It was pretty cringeworthy, I have to say. But, yeah, so he just got sent home. He's confused. He thought that she liked him, but, you know, obviously not. She only likes Dale.
So the last group date of the episode is when the other half of the guys who weren't on that first group date are going to write jokes for a roast of their fellow contestants. Right. And so the guys not on the date, a.k.a. Dale and some others, will be the audience. Normally they would have, like, you know, random people off the street to be in the audience, but we're in a pandemic, so the other guys are the audience. So basically, I mean, I'm sure there was other jokes, but what they showed was just everyone ripping Dale apart. And yeah. At first, you know, Claire's like, I want to have a guy with a sense of humor and blah, blah, blah. She was smiling at the beginning and then it just quickly faded so fast. And suddenly she was like fuming. It was such a fast, like, change of emotions. She's like, this is going to be a hilarious date. No, it's not. She was like, she looked so angry, and at the end of the date, she walks away, and she tells a producer, how dare they talk about my fiancé like that? Her fiancé.
Like, she's still technically dating, like, I don't know.
20 guys.
15 other, yeah, 20, 15 or 20 other guys. She's not supposed to pick a fiancé until, you know, like the last episode, pretty
seven
much.
7 more weeks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just to be able to even say, how dare they talk about my fiance like that, to call him her fiance. And
that just shows her mental state.
Yeah. So then at the cocktail bar party, part of this date, she has one-on-one time with each guy, but basically she only asks them about Dale. She's like, so why did you say that joke about Dale? And why, she asked why they were so mean to him. Like, it's a roast. That's what a roast is. It just happened to be that, like, Dale's spending 99% of the time with you, and so we get to make fun of him, you know? And she will not let it go. Like, they want to, like, be like, hey, can we not talk about this? Can we just talk, like, get to know each other instead? And she's like, no. Like, I need to know why you were so rude to Dale. That was just uncalled for, blah, blah, blah. And she's just, like, will not let it go. Every single conversation is about Dale. And it hurt her feelings. And so at the end, you know, there's one rose for the group date. And whoever she likes best on that date is supposed to get the rose. She picks up the group date rose and is like, I can't give this out. I can't. And so no one gets the rose. So they basically just wasted. They're like, why are we here? Like, no one here is going to impress her enough to get a rose. And
yeah, that's because basically she's made up her mind on the third day, which is so fine. Clear. She just needs to tell everyone else that and not drag them along for the next 7 weeks. But, yeah. You know, that's not really the point of The Bachelorette anyways. You're supposed to, you know, at least make an effort to, like,
okay, so, but Claire has already been on The Bachelor, so same exact format as this. Then she was on Bachelor in Paradise 2 times, where there's a bunch of guys and a bunch of girls on a beach in Mexico, and they can just date each other. That's
right.
She was on that for 2 seasons. Then she was on another show called The Bachelor Winter Games, which I didn't watch, but I think it's very similar to Bachelor in Paradise. So she's right. Had so many chances to do this, and of course now that she's the Bachelorette, she just falls in love so fast. But this is where the episode this week ended, and then there's a teaser for next week with them being like, oh, Claire's leaving, and everyone's like, what's gonna happen next? And all of a sudden it cuts to a former contestant on The Bachelor, Tayshia Adams. She just is walking out of the pool with, like, some really dramatic music, aka she's gonna take over as a Bachelorette. We don't know anything else besides that, but
yeah, and we don't even know why, like, we need a new Bachelorette. Like, what exactly happens? Does Claire run off with Dale?
Yeah, I think,
or do
so.
All the other guys just be like, I'm done, and then the only person she has left is Dale?
Well, either way, she's gonna be with Dale in both of those scenarios, so.
Yeah, I know, but the reasons why are very different. Like, what if she's just like, everyone besides Dale is just like, yeah, I'm not in it for you. that would be so rude. But honestly, I really hope that happens. That would be so great.
So we'll just do recaps every few weeks, but you know, this just took over about 20 minutes of your time instead of 6 hours, so you're welcome.
Yes, we saved you a bunch of time.
Shopping online can be a real hassle. You have to jump from tab to tab, comparing prices and trying coupon codes to make sure you're getting the best deal. Let me introduce you to Honey, the world's most popular money-saving app and browser extension. I use Honey all the time. Whenever I'm about to check out online, I click the button and it finds me the best coupon code available and instantly applies them to my cart. Honey is totally free. In fact, the only thing it can do is save you money. Get the Honey browser extension by going to sassstorysarcasm.com/honey and start saving some money today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.
Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks with titles from every genre. Audible titles play on nearly any device and allows you to listen to your favorite audiobooks anytime, anywhere.
You can even switch between devices and it'll play from where you left off. SAS Stories and Sarcasm listeners can get a 30-day membership trial that includes one free audiobook of your choice.
Just go to audibletrial.com/SSS podcast to start your trial and choose your book today.
Okay, so we have some unfortunate news regarding Gonzaga's basketball season, the non-conference part of the season. The conference part is already laid out. If you guys remember, we were talking about how Gonzaga was going to participate in the ESPN Orlando bubble. Mm-hmm. And basically, that's no longer a thing.
It was going to be like 10 tournaments over the course of like a few weeks. And then they were all going to be in a bubble.
Right.
And the NCAA just decided that they weren't going to do that anymore.
Right. Yeah. So the reason they decided is basically they had to, the ESPN had to stick to the guidelines set by the CDC. Mm-hmm. And basically, if any player tested positive within the last 90 days, then after that 90-day resting period or whatever, they had to just do one more test to confirm that they don't have COVID. And then some of the teams opted out of that, which I think is a little silly because, you know, it's just, you know, it's testing. So mm-hmm. basically, they didn't have enough teams to participate in this little, mini tournament that it just fell apart.
Yeah. On the conference side of things, though, the WCC has been talking – nothing's official that I've heard yet anyway, but they're thinking about doing a conference in kind of a different way. They're talking about doing it all in Las Vegas and having the teams go down and play a bunch of games over the course of 2 weeks and then have a break and then do it again for 2 weeks. And so that's like basically a WCC bubble, just playing a bunch of games back to back. Like those are going to be some, if that's how they decide to do it, there's going to be so much Gonzaga basketball happening in those like 4 or 5 weeks or however long.
Yeah, it'll be like a little March Madness, like every other, you know, like multiple games a day, or oh, not a day, multiple games a week, you know, it'll be a lot of games. Mm-hmm. So that sounds fun, something to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
Something to mention, so Gonzaga originally was going to be playing against Auburn, and then either Texas Tech or Houston, and then Tennessee. The Auburn game is definitely out of the picture. The Texas Tech-Houston game is definitely out of the picture. But they are still in communication with Tennessee, and it looks like that one's going to go through. So we'll at least have Tennessee as like a good non-conference game as part of our schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always good because we really do need to like bolster our, you know, our schedule resume in off.
That whole Orlando bubble not working out that really messed up a lot of the non-conference games we were going to play.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll see. So it's just kind of, we're kind of just scattering around seeing what we can, schedule now. They still have a little bit of time, so it's no need to freak out completely. But the bubble not working out was a big disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Also, in other WCC news, the University of Portland is exploring out-of-state options to allow their men's and women's basketball programs to hold practices and host games. And that's just very confusing to me, but I guess the state of Oregon won't recognize the role it played in, like, they're allowing Oregon and Oregon State to do this, but University of Portland also submitted the protocols and procedures that mirrored those of the Pac-12 universities, but they were denied twice because the governor's office said they're not issuing any new exemptions, and they asked the programs to try in 6 to 12 weeks. Like, that's so the season's going to have started by then. Like, what? And that's also extremely unfair.
Yeah, I know. I get that, you know, that you might have a limited, I mean, the idea that you have a limited amount of exemptions is just, you know, it's just a random rule that someone just, you know, what's the number?
Like, it's just not fair because it's the,
they just made up.
The public, you know, schools get the preferential treatment here, and then the private schools, or at least University of Portland, they're just denied. I mean, they're a much smaller program, but who cares? Like, they're still a basketball team, a Division I basketball team. Yeah, they'll
be following guidelines, so I disagree with this. But in the meantime, it looks like they're looking at out-of-state options, right, Mary?
Yeah. I mean, University of Portland is very close to Washington. So, I mean, maybe out of – who knows?
Yeah. So they might be having their practice facilities in Washington State instead of Oregon.
Or somewhere else. Who knows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also in Washington this week, very exciting, I guess, thing happened. They started killing – they killed the first murder hornet nest in the country, in Washington.
Yeah. So if you guys remember, this is like a big story we've been following. So murder hornets are, you know, they're in Washington, so look out, everyone. But yeah, they found the first nest. They killed 85 murder hornets and captured 13 alive. And basically the quote is, this is only the start, because, you know, there's a lot more out there that's, you know, projected. The nest was located in, what is that, Whatcom County?
Yeah, Whatcom County.
Near the Canadian border, so I guess Canada's also got to look out for these things. But yeah,
the border doesn't close for murder hornets.
Yeah, unfortunately, I know U.S. citizens can't go out, but the murder hornets, you know, they don't need a visa. They don't need a passport. But yeah, so once again, these murder hornets can actually, the stinger can be lethal if this person is stung multiple times. So apparently they're very elusive. So I don't know how worried people need to be worrying about them just being randomly attacked, but still be on the lookout, you know, and mention that to the Washington State Department of Agriculture. They're the ones looking for these murder hornets. But once again, this is good news. They were looking for these bees for, I don't know, like how many months now? Like
three, I think four. The first time we heard about murder hornets was maybe July.
Yeah,
so it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So they finally found some. They're donating the ones that they didn't kill off to different laboratories and for science. but yeah, so that's our update on the murder hornets. Hopefully they find the rest of them before they enter. What was it called, like the murder phase or something?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear about that phase.
It's where they go around and killing all the other bees, which is a big deal because, you know, bees pollinate the crops in Washington's you know, agriculture
and industry. Everywhere.
Yeah, and everywhere, and you know, Washington has a lot of money in their agriculture, so let's hope we can get rid of these murder hornets as fast as possible.
Now, switching gears, last story of the podcast today. We're going to talk about a 24-year-old who's tracking every broken McDonald's ice cream machine in the U.S. So,
what a hero.
I mean, honestly, there's a lot of broken ice cream machines. I don't know. I don't go to McDonald's very often, but I have heard that the ice cream machines are, you know, very
notorious.
Yeah, very notorious for not being working. And so this 24-year-old software engineer launched this website called mcbroken.com, and the website aims to end such incidents once and for all. So the site displays a map of every McDonald's location in the U.S. denoted by clusters of dots, and locations with a working ice cream machine get a green dot and locations without one a red dot. And then there's a column on the right that compiles statistics. 7.54% of McDonald's ice cream machines in the U.S. are broken. Very important statistic to keep. And 15.22% of those are in New York. So he came up with McBroken over the summer. In July, he visited McDonald's in Berlin, and he attempted to order a McSundae from a touchscreen, but no ice cream was available. And so then he attempted to order from the mobile app, but it didn't work either. And so basically, it was a failed trip to McDonald's. And so he built a bot. He used McDonald's, he started with the McDonald's mobile app, and every minute he places an order. Oh, his bot attempts to add a McSunday every 30 minutes every single McDonald's location in the U.S. And then if the bot successfully adds the item, it tells McBroken that the location machine is working. If not, the location changes to a red dot.
Yeah, so it's pretty smart. It basically pings the location of every single McDonald's location in the country with the app. So he can talk to the app, and the app just tells him, you know, sorry, can't add a McFlurry. And then he's like, okay, that's a red dot over that spot. So it's very, you know, simplistic, and the simple apps are usually the useful ones, because this is honestly very useful, because, you know, I swear, like, at least 50% of the time I'm trying to get my M&M McFlurry, they're like, oh, sorry, ice cream machine broken. So now this time I could go on McBroken and be like, okay, there's 5 McDonald's in Seattle. There's probably way more than 5. Probably a billion, but you know, there's a lot. And I'll be like, okay, now I know exactly which McDonald's I could go to get my M&M McFlurry. This is just
if
so
you're that
nice.
Desperate. I mean, you live like one block from a Safeway, so if you really need ice cream, that might be a better bet. But yes, within 20 minutes of McBroken launching, it received 10,000 visitors. And actually, this also has received praise from the McDonald's VP of U.S. Communications. He tweeted, only a McDonald's fan would go to the links to help customers get our delicious ice cream. And honestly, he said that this will help McDonald's keep track of their own system.
Yeah, that's so bad. They should honestly pay him, because that's actually very valuable software for internal purposes and for, you know, it's drawing customers to them pretty much.
Well, that's all we have for today. Now that you're caught up on The Bachelor, caught up on, you know, Gonzaga, basketball, whatever's going to happen there. And then
everyone is up to date on everything.
Murder Hornets and McDonald's, all you need to know.
Exactly.
Now you're able to just spend the rest of your time. You don't need to turn on the news. Number one news source right here.
Exactly.
But anyways, I hope everyone has a good rest of October. Happy Halloween. Happy Election Day. And also happy Daylight Savings. There's so much happening this weekend. Bye.
Yeah. I'll see you guys later. Bye.